Friday show. We interview motherfuckers you don't know. ADHD crew about to go in on some TV shows from Apple Plus, because watching their content is a must. We already consume too much apples in our diet. Don't fight it, get excited. We're the dopest podcast, like I said before, and gather around and tell all your friends that we're the dopest show on the West Coast, because we always do the most. Follow us on Instagram at ADHDcast so you don't miss a story. What's the morning glory? We're about to go crazy. This podcast is amazing. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a classic line.
That is my classic line.
It's a go-to right there. It rhymes with everything.
I know. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Don't you dare eat into the mic, Chet. That is infuriating. It's the worst sound.
He told you he went off the deep end. He can't stop himself now.
We're going to have a tight 45. You can wait to eat.
No,
we're all hungry.
Come on. For real?
We're all hungry, hungry hippos.
How you been doing on that sush?
She can't stop. She can't
stop. I ordered
stop.
Again last night.
What'd you get?
Sashimi, crispy rice. And a deep-fried Philadelphia roll, baby.
Woo-hoo. That creamy cheese.
It's just so good.
Before we go into the movies, we got to talk about one thing. We got an email from Jacqueline Quackenbush.
Ooh.
Hey, Jackie. Well,
first off, it starts off with, Cheech, I miss you. Whoa.
Did you go somewhere?
Yeah. She just missed emailing back and forth with me, you know. We have a little email Aww. Thing going on.
Wow.
Jacqueline.
But she says, I'm licking my chops, waiting to hear what y'all ate for Thanksgiving, especially Katie. I ate dumb cold shrimp mini pasta shell salad, and later that night a plate of tots with ketchup, sriracha, and chili sauce. The
what
kind
the
with the seeds. Fuck me. P.S. You're my favorite. Oh, I didn't read that part. P.S. You're my favorite. Ooh, love Jacquelina in Seattle. Ooh.
Dame más Jacquelina.
Dame más Jacquelina.
So, let's hear it. Katie, what did you eat? Sushi.
I wish I had sushi. Actually, mine was good. We did
Who's we?
My roommate and I did an Erewhon
you and your dog?
Hot bar Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, cream right. spinach, some multicolored carrots.
Right.
Whoa.
Mac and cheese. Ooh. And vodka.
For wow. a grand total of $280.
Yeah, how much was that?
The stuff. So, they were out of stuffing at the hot bar. So, the only option was like a tray of already prepared stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Just the stuffing was $50.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
I've always wanted.
They use all the fucking, the crazy, like, sourdough, fresh baked
yep.
fucking bullshit, organically sourced fucking whatever mm-hmm. the fuck, celery and whatever they put, onions or fair trade from Ecuador or whatever.
Yes. And it was my first Erewhon experience. Pretty much what I expected.
How was
expensive,
the food?
Hella bougie. It was good. It was really good.
On a quick side note, Cheech, because I know you love side notes. They
Off
have a
topic.
They have a fire ass fucking breakfast burrito.
Mm-hmm. Oh really? They had salmon at the hot bar that looked so good.
I'm telling you, Katie, if you ever get your ass out of into Erewhon before 11 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
I think the fucking
on
breakfast.
Instacart.
Breakfast burrito is so fire. I got the bacon breakfast burrito and I was actually blown fucking away. Like,
and it was $30.
Yeah, it was like $17, but
yeah.
So Erewhon yeah. is so bougie that I couldn't even figure out how to spell it. I had to fucking just Google search
like,
it till it came.
A-I-R.
Yeah.
Nope. Erewhon.
I mean, they don't even want you to find this place. That's how exclusive it is. They're like, we dare you to find it. You'll never do it. Erewhon. Nobody
yeah.
knows
I
how
mean,
to spell that.
Everything, like, and so the hot bar is like,
it's
know, it's
just
not
a grocery
your standard,
store, right? It's just a grocery store, but with like a lot of counters, like a lot of deli shit.
It's very conscious eating. It's like if you're gonna get beef, it's not just gonna be conventional beef. It's gonna be grass fed, organic, like fucking kosher beef, and that's like the most expensive beef you can get, and it's like $90 a pound or some shit.
Okay.
And the hot bar isn't some, you know, peasant help yourself. No. It's behind the glass, and you have to.
It's like a Subway sandwich. It's like a Subway sandwich. You're like, I want that. I want that. Mm. And then there's like someone hooking it up for you.
I love Subway.
And like all of the sides and the gravy, it was everything was like $19 a pound.
Holy shit. So how much did you spend on Thanksgiving?
I didn't spend anything.
Wow.
Actually, I bought vodka. Dang. Well, and they also mashed potatoes. So we had to go to Ralph's and get mashed potatoes.
Dang, did you have to fucking like go down on her after this or what?
No, so I mean... I offered, but
wow, that's amazing.
I don't know what it was. I'm sure it was insane because, like, as we're getting each little container in the cart, I'm looking at the sticker. I'm like, oh shit, holy shit, oh my god!
Please don't ask me to pay. Please don't ask me to pay.
Can I write a post-dated check for this?
Did you know that she was going to cover all of this, or were you expecting?
No.
Okay,
no.
Wow,
I expected a splitsies.
Right.
Wow, I like. That would be fucked up. You're like expecting a splitsies and she's like, let's go to Erewhon and buy like all of the Thanksgiving fixins. And then you're like, fuck.
Oh yeah. Especially when it was like the $50 stuffing. I was like, I don't need stuffing.
I don't even like stuffing really.
Well, because I'm good with the stovetop $2 box of stuffing.
Why does stuffing hit so much? Cheech, do you like stuffing?
No, I actually do not.
I fucking
like stuffing.
Love stuffing.
Like it?
I love stuffing.
I love it, but I don't like when they're doing too much. Like, the Erewhon stuffing was really good, but there I've seen other ones where they're putting shit in there. It's like you don't
raisins.
Need to put that shit in there. Oh, don't put a raisin in stuffing.
Yeah,
a lot of people put fruit in stuffing, and I think that's why
that's not
I don't
okay.
like it.
I'm kind of with that. You know, I like just give me the classic onions and celery. And I've seen it. My sister makes it sometimes with olives, and not normally an olive person.
That's a weird move.
I hate olives. And that celery better not be crunchy either. Don't give me no crunchy celery.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know. Maybe I just never had like.
Dolores disagrees.
bomb stuffing. I don't know. I've never liked it, even when I've had it at restaurants or anywhere.
Even stovetop or not stovetop.
I like the stovetop.
It's okay. I don't
hate
it.
Good gravy.
But
you need good gravy.
It's well, if you put gravy on anything, it's good. So it's like,
yeah, but it can't be like so much gravy is trash. Like it's hard.
I don't know. So Cheech, how'd you get down?
I didn't cook anything this year. It was tight. I didn't make anything. I just showed
typical,
up. Fucking
typical. Typical Cheech.
No, I usually make the turkey.
Typical.
Every year I usually make the turkey for the past like 10 years.
Okay. How do you do it? Talk to me. What's up?
I do the last few years I've been doing the Gordon Ramsay thing.
Me too.
With the bacon thing and the shoving butter in the skin and shit.
It's so good.
What's the bacon and, thing?
Well, we'll go over it because I did it on this turkey.
Making a
this
bacon
year.
Okay. Bacon lattice, basically.
Oh, that's what I was hoping it was going to be.
But my brother-in-law, Joseph, he made the turkey and it was great. I mean, I loved it. But Christina,
you loved it
different method.
Work.
Yeah, I loved it because I didn't make it. But actually, I was impressed with his. Well, the turkey was great, but then he carved it. I've never seen anyone get so much meat. He fucking killed it with the carving. He was like popping the wings off, popping the legs off. I don't know how he did it, but it was awesome.
Speaking of killing it, I saw a citizen alert that day. It was a bunch of turkeys running down the highway, like running for their lives, literally.
And then the one who really killed it, Christina, was like, I'm making mashed potatoes and green beans. And she made stuffing, which as you
green beans or green bean casserole?
Green beans and mushrooms is what she made.
Okay.
Not green bean casserole.
That was the only thing I was
Matt
missing.
Sus.
Really. I don't really care about casseroles that much.
Green bean casserole is the only exception.
It's
honestly.
So good with those French fried onions.
The
so
mashed good. Potatoes she made... We're like,
dude. I can fucking
mashed potatoes.
Shut up, Cheech. I'm not taking your opinion. I'm gonna not taking your opinion on mashed potatoes. Who eats it out of a fucking box?
I'm not. Listen, I'm just not bougie like you. Where it's like, if it's not $55, I won't eat it. Okay.
I know, that's how you remember.
Katie was saying, the stovetop stuffing, she likes it. I mean, it's good. I'm not a hater on cheap things, and I know you're not either, because you went to Taco Bell and Wiener Schnitzel like a week ago.
No, that's what I'm saying. The thing is cheap. Hold on real quick.
I'm just not a hater. You're a hater. That's all it is.
No, actually, I think you're a hater. I was about to say, because I welcome all types.
No, you don't. No, you only like expensive ass shit. That's not true.
I went to Wiener Schnitzel. I went to the Schnitzel.
In your Tesla.
In your fucking Tesla with your fucking Bluetooth in your ear.
Hold on 1 second.
Your phone tip to your belt.
Yeah, that sounds great. No, not you. Hold on 1 second.
Well, Christina made them from scratch. She did the garlic butter.
I think cheap. They were bomb. And just to put this to rest, I think you only like cheap shit. That's just what I think.
No, that's definitely not true.
Dude, you're like, I'm not paying all this money for sushi. I'm not paying a fucking the real amount for a russet potato.
I'll do it if it's really good. I'll do it. Like when we go to Vegas, I like to go to, you know, buy like a $100 steak. It's good.
But I will say, when we went to Nice Sushi, you wouldn't give your verdict. You're like, I'm not going to say how good it was until I see the bill, because
that's true. That's a factor. What do you mean? You don't factor in the bill when it comes to just eating shit?
Experiences are priceless, bro.
Yeah, but that wasn't like a crazy, oh my God, this experience. You know why? Because you went in with that mindset.
No,
because we're just on a fucking little tiny restaurant, on a fucking corner restaurant. It's not like restaurants are very charming.
Nah. You're in Beverly Hills, basic. A nice, quaint restaurant. I think it was nice.
It was nice. I'm not saying it wasn't nice. I'm just saying it wasn't like, oh my God, this is an experience to remember for the rest of my life. I'm in Beverly Hills.
Maybe I know the
titles add a little bit of pizzazz for you, but for me, it doesn't. Just because it's in Beverly Hills doesn't mean I should be fucking.
So that's why you're hating.
You drink Diet Coke with dessert.
You go to McDonald's every day.
Not every day.
But
yes, I know you did.
Every day, but she also gets sushi for dessert. So, yeah. You know, she has one foot in, one foot out.
Everyone loved the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes were a fucking hit. I did make gravy.
Because
I wasn't planning on making it. Because, again, I was planning on not making anything, but...
Sure. Did you make it from the drippings?
I made it from the drippings. That was the last chance. We had no gravy, so I was like, fuck. So I had to make it from the drippings with the fucking little bit of, you know, fucking chicken stalks and the wine, the fucking brew, and fucking did it up.
Nice, dog.
It was good.
Mashed potatoes are not... It's not a difficult dish, but a lot of people manage to fuck it up and make them way too bland. That is true. Mm. If there's not enough butter or salt and pepper, or... I mean, I like to put in a little sour cream, a little cream cheese, maybe some heavy cream, all the creams.
I think Christina did cream cheese and milk and some sort of cream milk. I don't know.
Also, sour cream. I like sour cream, but when you think about it, just the name... Sour cream? That's disgusting.
I know. I feel you, but I fucking love sour cream too. It's so good. It's so good, dude. But when you really start thinking about it,
you're like, oh, what an unappealing name.
I put it on a lot of fucking more things than I thought I would, but like, it works. It works. It's very versatile. Very versatile cream.
It really adds something, and it's not a strong flavor, but it does.
Yeah. Have you ever tried throwing a little bit of just cream cheese in like a scrambled egg?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
I don't think so. I've done.
Gordon Ramsay told me to do that.
Gordon Ramsay, that is true. He uses creme fraiche, but that's French version. Yeah. But it's the same.
I've done the French, like the slow scramble, the soft scramble, or whatever it is. It takes forever, though.
Yeah, you're talking about where you have to constantly stir it. That's when you add the
cream. Yeah, and it's a lower heat. Oh, I mean, I'll try that. I'm down.
So what'd you have?
But how the gravy turn out though?
Oh, it was bomb. It was bomb. Salty, fucking delicious, fatty. So
good. Don't come at me with a jar of gravy, a can of gravy. That shit is never good.
I did have so later on we went to Christina's house, which basically was the same meal because Christina brought all the same sides, so it was like half her food and then a different turkey. But then they did have I guess some sort of packet gravy or something.
And oh boy, no.
It wasn't as good. But, again, I'm not a hater. I still liked it. It was still good.
Which turkey was better?
They were both actually had their merits, you know, because have you ever had the turkey when they make it in a bag? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does, like, the skin, you know, you can forget about, like, having real crispy skin, but it does make everything real moist because you're basically, like, steaming the turkey. So it is a little juicy.
Because a dry turkey is the bad news. No ham. I prefer turkey, but sometimes I like a little bit of ham on the side.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that about you.
Yeah. They call me old side ham. Right, Chet.
Chet, what'd you have?
Later.
I went to my sister's house. Yeah. And my sister said that her kids got sick, like probably like a week and a half, or maybe just over a week before Thanksgiving. She's like, my kids are really sick. And she goes, I got my flu shot and I'm not sick, but my kids are sick. I'm like, well, it's a fucking week away. Let's just see what happens. And a few days before, she's like, look, they're still sick. They're still coughing. So basically my mom, who was going to come, she opted out. She's like, well, if your kids are sick, I'm not going to go.
It's fucked
and
up.
And my sister's
not
like,
to come see you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's still COVID-ish times, COVID-icus, you know?
Yeah.
So I get it, you know? Allegedly. So I was like, in my head, I was just like, I don't care. I didn't fucking care. I was like, look, I'm going to go, and I'm sure whatever little fucking cold these little kids, these little tykes have, that my immune system is able to fight it off. I'm going to assume that. So I went in, and then I went and bought pies. I bought so many pies. This is ridiculous. I bought four pies at Murray Callender's.
For how many people?
There was seven people. So I know. I wanted to buy a little bit of
pie for everyone.
I wanted to buy just the pumpkin. This is a classic pumpkin. I got a pumpkin cheesecake. I got a coconut cream, and for shits and gigs, I just got a chocolate cream pie. Mm. It was good. Anyway, so then I got all that stuff, and then on my way over, my sister has a newborn, so she has three little kids plus a newborn.
Ugh.
My sister has a shit ton of fucking kids. So essentially I'm driving over there. She's like, look.
Wait. Sorry. I don't know if I ever asked. Is she married?
Yeah, she's married.
Okay, good. Yeah. So she's not alone fucking with all these kids.
No, definitely not.
It's a lot of kids.
So I was driving over there and she's like, look, the kids are being a little more difficult. Can you just take over and just cook everything?
Oh, cook.
Oh, shit.
And I go. Fuck. And I'm like, you know what? I wasn't planning on it, but all right, fuck it. Let's go. I go, you have everything? Do you need anything from the store? She goes, no, I have everything. And I'm like, okay. And I go, just a check. You got this. You got that. You got that. She's like, yeah. I got it. I'm like, cool. So I show up and I just go to work because time is of the essence. I'm not trying to have like a 5 p.m. fucking dinner. I show up.
What around, time is it when you get there?
I got there just right before 11 a.m.
Okay.
So I basically need to get the turkey in so it could be done by 3 or 4. You know, I need to start fucking going, you know. So the turkey's out. It's all thawed, defrosted, or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. And I just straight go in, butter, fucking lemon. And then I get the fucking the zest from the lemon and put the fucking zest of the lemon in there. And I put parsley. And then I'm massaging all the fucking butter in between the shit. And then I get the fucking the two lemons that I just squoze and put them in there.
Squoze?
Squoze and lemons?
And I stuffed the fucking lemons in the cavity. I stuffed the fucking lemons in the cavity and I cut up an onion through the fucking onion in the fucking bitch. And I fucking put it on broil.
Put it in the cavity.
I also rubbed the fucking whole turkey with paprika and spices to give it that color, like that reddish color. Put it in the fucking oven at 450 degrees for 30 minutes. And then I took it out, layered it with bacon, just like the Gordon Ramsay method. Because basically the hot heat sears up the chicken, so then all the flavors stay in. So the hot heat will, it just captures all the flavor, and then you put fucking layers of bacon on top. So I don't have to baste it because the fat from the fucking the bacon will drip into the shit. So I'm like, let's go. So we do that. And then my sister wanted cauliflower mash. Mm-hmm. Went in, fucking cream cheese, garlic, Parmesan. Let's fucking go. Fucking made biscuits. She already, actually, she made the stuffing the night before. So she had them in like little, what do you call it? Warmers, little, you know, like she has like a crock, like a crock pot, but like it has a multiple different little tiny compartments that stay warm. So she made corn. I think she made the stuffing. And then I think that was it. And then I was like, well, we're going to need a bread. I looked at her pantry, saw that she had fucking flour. I saw there was a little bunch of butter bread? Left over.
Oh my God.
I made biscuits. I made biscuits from scratch with butter. And so you get baking powder. And I did it from memory. I didn't really have to look up. I was like, I think I know what it is. Hopefully I know it was risky. Risky. I risk it for the biscuit, you know?
Uh-huh. Eat a lot of biscuits.
And dude, I did. The recipe was a little crazy because like I ended up making 20 biscuits. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was going to make that much, but I just kept on, whatever. Came out, everything came out fucking on point. Made the gravy from the drippings, did the roux, you know, all that nice shit. Awesome. I got to say, I also made stuffed mushrooms. They wanted stuffed mushrooms. They had the mushrooms there, and I was like, fuck it. Then I did the same thing.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Granted, but once the turkey was in, that was like, okay, it's going to take 4 hours to cook or 3 hours to cook. So we don't have to really get into it. So I started prepping a lot of little things while that turkey was going. And I didn't have to start cooking.
Master Chet.
I didn't have to start really cooking until, you know, like 3 o'clock again. So there was like a long gap between cooking. But I was prepping and I was getting all this stuff ready. And as soon as the turkey was done and I pulled the turkey out and I let it rest for like 45 minutes to an hour and I put all the stuff back in, like, you know, we're rotating all this stuff. The last thing to get in there was the biscuits. And I got to admit, my sister did, she did have a ham, but she put it in the crock pot and she put it in the crock pot and it was already cooked. It needed to be heated up. She put, you know, whatever. She put brown sugar. I mean, I did all of it, but her recipe was brown sugar, like cherries and pineapple, you know, with a little bit of water. So essentially, it just kind of like all got really like pull apart, like tender with all the sugar that's in there. You're just like, it tastes so good. Anyway, my plate consisted of stuffing, biscuits, the cauliflower mash, ham, turkey, and then that gravy all over the whole fucking plate. Yeah. Every single condiment is everything.
You know what I don't... That was great. I hate to say that. Okay, Kathleen made cranberry sauce, and I think that's another thing I'm discovering. Sauce. I just don't like cranberry sauce. Because she made it from scratch, and it was good, but it's like so tart. Sweet and like tart, and it's like, I don't know.
We got some of that too, but I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll try it, but it's definitely not like the thing I'm most excited about.
Yeah, like I could tell it was good, like homemade shit, but it was like, you know, just I don't think I like cranberry.
The one thing, and to go back to what Katie was saying earlier, I like the green bean casserole, but it's a deal breaker for me. If you used canned green beans, get the fuck out of here with that shit. Mm. It tastes like trash. The green beans already are soggy and they're just so mushy. If you use fresh ones, you can still get some good texture. It doesn't seem that they're overcooked.
I don't mind it, but
I dislike it so much.
Because when I have green beans that are fresh, though, they need to be like, I like them really cooked. I don't like them to still be hard at all.
Well, I mean, yeah, but there's a difference between being cooked all the way through and mushy. And the ones that are in cans are literally mush. They're so terrible.
When you showed up, were you expecting the food to be ready or were you expecting like, oh, it's going to be a while because she's going to be making it?
I was expecting to help.
Okay. So
I was like, I'll make this, I'll make that. And we kind of talked about it before. My sister, because when I was going hard on keto, she really... loved the cauliflower mash. Regardless, she's like, I'd rather do cauliflower mash over potato mash. That's a little wild.
I mean, I'm sure cauliflower mash is good, but I don't. But
there's just something about potatoes.
Better than potatoes, though.
On Thanksgiving,
they're very carby, but
No, I mean, look, they wanted to try something different, and I wasn't like, look, I'm not gonna fight for it. Like,
how thankful were they to you? I mean, were they fucking? Like, I mean, they should be fucking rolling off the red carpet, like saying, "Thanks, Uncle Chet, you're the best." I mean, did this app go down? Because it should have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, I do it because I want
you $150.
Yeah. Well, she had bought everything, though, right? She had bought
everything.
No, that's not a bad trade. That's not a bad trade. She paid for everything, and Chet made everything.
What'd you drop on the pies, though?
$100.
Not bad. That's a lot of pie.
Well, it was like $89, whatever.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to overdo it, and here's the fucked up part, and I feel bad because, well, I don't feel bad, but when I was done, I was like, oh, I overdid it. And she's like, oh, you want to take a play home? I'm like, nope. And she's like, do you want to take some of the pies home? I'm like, sorry, they're all yours. I swear.
You ditched it all on
them. Well, I was just like, I'm sorry, you guys can be fat. Like, I'm going to try to.
That's good. Feed the family for a week right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I'm sure that they had a great time. But then as soon as I was driving back, I regretted it. I'm like, fuck, I should take
Yeah, of course.
Pies.
You should have taken some turkey, fucking some fucking. Because right. We had leftovers, not as many days as we had in the past, but for a few good days after. I was doing double turkey meals every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The next day, just like making your little plate again, you're like, ugh. As good.
So you didn't have any leftovers, right, Katie? Because I mean, like,
no, we did actually.
Oh, really?
Well, definitely the stuffing, but yeah, there was leftovers of stuff.
Well, Jacquelina, there it was. We fucking thanks.
And I just want to real quick, while we're on holiday foods, where do you guys stand on holiday popcorn tins?
Nah.
You know, like the three flavor.
Yeah.
Tins. What's the hierarchy of flavors? When it comes to caramel, butter, and cheddar.
Caramel, butter, and what?
Cheese, like cheese popcorn.
So I think for me, cheese and then caramel. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's nice to get a handful of each, though.
The old Chicago mix.
You know, you ever hate it when people take the dividers off and shake it all up? And you're like,
I like a butter popcorn with fucking some jalapenos. It's good. I like that.
Okay, that's not an option. Yeah,
I don't like any of. I really don't. The cheese ones, they're good for like 5 minutes, and then I'm like, I'm done.
I asked because I've gotten a couple tins,
yeah,
and they have not been good. And for both that I got, there's about. Well, actually, I know exactly how much in this last one. It was like 3 ounces of butter popcorn, 3 ounces of cheddar popcorn, and 12 ounces of caramel corn. And that is my least favorite.
Really?
And the other one, it was the dividers, but it was like half caramel corn and then a quarter and a quarter. And it was white cheddar, and I wasn't ready for that. That's not what I wanted.
I don't know. Because
I was trying to get, I wanted popcorn from the store, but I didn't want microwave popcorn. And the only already popped popcorn they had was the holiday tins.
That's
some
crazy
bullshit. So I just needed to see where everybody stood.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have similar. You know, we're close to similar. We have some big
popcorn's
differences.
Important to me.
I agree. Like my friend, just to go off on an awesome tangent real quick, he tried to get me to invest in this fucking company in the early
2000s.
Yeah, called Popcornopolis.
Wow.
This isn't
never heard of them, so
yep. There you go.
Good choice for you to not do it.
Really?
Yeah. All right. You know what was a good choice?
Nope. Well, go ahead.
What we watched this week.
I agree. We had great choices this week.
Okay.
So let's start with The Shrink Next Door, shall we?
Yes,
we shall.
Okay. I gotta find my notes. Bear with me. This is so embarrassing.
Unprepared.
Jesus Christ.
I was not expecting this.
You're really putting me on the spot.
Jesus.
Shrink Next Door. Okay. 2021, 8 episodes. Not all have aired yet.
Okay.
The story of Marty and the therapist who turned his life around, then took it over. When he meets Dr. Ike, Marty just wants to get better at boundaries. Over 30 years, he'll learn all about them and what happens when they get crossed.
Okay.
IMDb 6.7 for the show overall.
Okay.
7.1 for the pilot episode.
Okay.
Tomato meter 59%. audience 65%.
Wow. Okay, okay.
I would say that's a little high.
A little high.
A little high. Yeah.
So no. what's everyone thinking?
I really don't like it.
I liked it.
Why did you like it?
Paul Rudd. Period.
What about it?
Sexiest man alive.
Because he's so sexy?
You know, he's charming. I like seeing him in this role. I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
It's definitely different for both of them.
I don't know. He did a great job, and I like him. And Will Ferrell's decent in this so far. I'm not saying he's going to, like, you know, he's not doing his comedy. I don't know whether or not to laugh or to cry. I don't know. It just seems very confusing role for Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. And because it's so confusing, I can imagine it might throw people off. But Paul Rudd really saved the day for me on this one.
Hmm. I love Catherine Hahn, too, just in general. Will Ferrell is giving, it's like I'm getting a touch of Buddy the Elf. And it's okay. A little bit weird that, for like, Paul naive. Rudd? No, Will Ferrell.
Oh, Buddy the Elf. Got it.
It's just a little... Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
I really did not like this because Paul Rudd, Will Ferrell, Catherine Hahn, I was expecting, it's like, oh shit, this is going to be hilarious. I'm going to laugh. Did not laugh. I think maybe I laughed one time during the whole fucking thing.
No, I didn't laugh once.
And I looked, I was like, is this a fucking comedy or what? They have why hire all these comedians and not have a fucking joke in this motherfucker? Yeah. I checked, it does say drama on Apple TV Plus as the category. And right here on Google, it says dark comedy.
Uh-huh. Dark comedy is what I would have suspected. I think it gets a lot darker, too, as you go.
But I don't like watching it expecting them to do something funny, and they never do anything funny.
So here's, I think, the difference between your experience and my experience, because I didn't walk in expecting that. I'm going to be honest.
This is a hater.
This is not my contrary to popular belief, I don't really like Will Ferrell. I just don't like him.
You don't even want
to
say his name right. That's how much you hate him.
Wait, how do you say it?
Farrell? With an L at the end instead of Farrell?
It's Will Ferrell.
Ferrell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell. I'm not a fan of his.
I don't like any of the Wills. Will Smith, yeah. Will Ferrell.
That's true.
It's
Will, your intern.
Will, I am.
Yeah. I don't know. I think... I was maybe a little too old for some of his shit. I don't know. I just not a huge fan of his. I gotta admit, some shit he does is funny, but his style got really played out for me real fast.
That's too bad because he's the next theme.
What?
Will Ferrell's the next theme. No, he's not.
That's tight. I mean, it'll just be Anchorman the whole fucking 1, 2, and 3.
Because
Anchorman was good, but then after a while, after that movie, you're just like, that's cool. I can only handle you in cameos. I can't really handle an hour and a half of this.
Yeah. I really didn't like Will Ferrell's thing at first. Like the first time watching like Step Brothers, I was like, this is stupid. Elf, I was like, this is stupid. But all of those movies, they did grow on me. Watching them on like rewatches, I was like, okay, they are pretty funny. But I kind of agree with Chet.
Talladega Nights.
It's not my favorite. It's a little like... It just misses me a little bit, but I do appreciate it. I do like it now.
Like when he makes movies,
I don't love Will Ferrell.
When he makes cameos, I think that's the strongest. Like when he like Eastbound and Down, he was that car salesman manager.
Oh yeah,
you know, just those little tiny roles. I love him because there's a nice like, mwah, it's a little fucking drop of awkwardness, and he's bouncing off ideas with everyone. But a whole
briefly
feature
in The Office.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are the type of like those are doses I like of Will Ferrell. The whole hour, give him his whole platform on Talladega Nights. I saw all these movies, by the way, multiple times.
Yeah.
Step Brothers, they were fun. But I wasn't like, God, this guy's
a fucking because of John C. Reilly?
Yeah. Honestly, supporting cast in every single go, including Anchorman. I mean, did a lot of, like, you know, playing off Christina Applegate. You know, you even had Paul Rudd and you had Koechner in there. Like, you had the whole shebang. You have Steve Carell in there, so it's like you have the whole supporting cast. You have everyone on deck, and you have a deep bench. So you know, sometimes when Ferrell would, you know, hang back, and you'd see other people shine, and it was a good, that was a good balance for me. But I did not care for any of the sequels of Anchorman. The first one was the best one, in my opinion.
So, and Katie, what do you think about this show?
I had high expectations for it that it didn't meet.
No.
I don't really know. Like, I feel like I don't really like it or really dislike it. I kept watching it.
How many episodes did you watch? How many episodes did you
watch? I watched at least, like, four.
Oh, shit. Like, holy shit.
So that's why I'm hesitant to even speak about it, because I don't want to give away anything. Sure.
Go ahead. I'm not going to watch this.
But I think I'll keep watching it. It's like, it's something that, like, when I watch my trash shows and I don't have anything new, I'm like, I'll toss this on. And
are you laughing at all or no?
No, it's not really funny.
Yeah, it's not. And I don't think that was, like, when I went in there, I didn't have any expectations to laugh, because, like, I know Will Ferrell, and I was just like, look, I just went in blind. And seeing the fact that he didn't really go for his normal comedy shtick was pretty refreshing. And I'm like, I like this Will Ferrell, dude.
I don't like him when he's trying not to be funny. Like, in, he did some movie where he was, like, trying to write a script, or he met the author or some movie. I don't know. But I don't like him when he does serious shit. I mean, he really should not do serious stuff.
Well, and the accents, I feel like, come and go. Also, maybe it's more apparent when you've watched more. I like Casey Wilson, who plays Paul Rudd's wife in other things. Big fan of Happy Endings. That's a great show.
Sure,
she's in that. I don't love her in this. I think, like, her accent would come and go, and it was kind of also, you know, I sometimes get hung up on details. The sister, when they showed her in a flashback, like at the bar mitzvah, was that in the first episode?
No.
Well, they did a flashback of her at some point. She has brown eyes. And then when she's an adult, they're not brown. And I think, let's just have some consistency here.
Wow.
Eyes can change.
Shitty show.
Eye colors can change.
She could wear color contacts.
It's very common.
From brown to blue?
No, but they can change nonetheless.
Unless you wear color contacts. Maybe she did.
Have we ever talked about...
Are you going to watch any more of this, Chet?
I don't know. Probably not. But, like, you know, I liked it. I don't know what I liked about it. I did. I think I just... I'm serious. Because I was just like, it was interesting. It was entertaining. It kept me engaged. I could say I didn't like it and bash it, but I have nothing to really bad to say about it. A little late there with the light, by the way.
I know. I didn't even think about it. I just turned on my light.
Something that I forgot is, like, it starts off with, you know, like, present day, I'm guessing, or, you know, close to it, where the shrink's throwing a party and you see Will Ferrell there, like,
creeping,
messing shit up, or you know, and you're like, and then it starts at the beginning, and you're like, I kind of like the whole, like, how are we gonna get to there thing of it. And they're not long episodes. I mean, it's kind of like how when I watch Mad Men, like, I don't know if I like this, I don't know if, but I keep watching it, and it's not that interesting, but I'm still watching.
Definitely.
I don't know about that, but yeah, I'm not going to watch any more of this. I think we should do the last bit of our time here on Palmer.
Well, I just want to say real quickly, have we ever talked about how Will Ferrell's an executive producer of Succession?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we never talked about it, but I'm aware.
Every time I see that come up, I always forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. That doesn't really seem like his vibe either. Obviously, he's not acting in it, but...
The show is pretty funny, though.
The show is funny. Well, Succession is funnier than... The Shrink Next Door.
It's actually hilarious compared to Shrink Next Door.
I do love some Roman and Tom. They're all right.
Good. You guys are all caught up on Succession too?
Yeah.
Of course.
So good.
You watched Kendall's birthday party?
Fucking douche.
Dude. What a douche.
I love it. Why am I rooting for Kendall? Why am I
rooting? I hate Kendall.
I'm rooting for him though. Why? Is he the lesser of all evils? You want to see him go down?
I'm rooting for Roman. Yeah,
I like Roman. But Team Roman is Team Logan.
I'm okay with that.
But it's Team Jerry, and I want that Jeromance.
I like Logan, too. Logan's kind of a fucking evil...
I don't like Logan.
I'm not rooting for fucking Pinky, although I love Tom.
I know. I was about to say. Shiv. Shiv's not...
Tom's a fucking creep and a half. He's such a creep. Because he's such a... like a weak... like soup of a guy, and then he goes and fucking bullies the shit out of Greg, the one person
shit rolls downhill, homie. That's how it works. Shit rolls, and it's a prime example of how people prey on weak people like that. It's just like anyway, I know.
I can't believe that girl's still with Kendall. He's like, I'm just trying to like get in your head, like why you would give me this watch.
Yeah, I know. Like I have everything, bro. I have everything.
Palmer, we gotta save Palmer for Palmer. We gotta get in
2021. Rated R, 1 hour, 50 minutes. Pushing it. An ex-convict strikes up a friendship with a boy from a troubled home. IMDb, 7.3. Tomato meter, 72%. Audience, 87%.
87, okay.
Yeah.
I would say that's pretty dead on. I think it's an 87.
I loved it.
I fucking love this movie.
Oh, loved
it? I cried multiple times.
Wow. I cried too.
I was so in love with that fucking kid, and I felt so protective over him. I was crying before anything happened because I was anticipating him getting bullied and I was already upset about it. I fucking love that kid.
Yeah.
Palmer. I like the old lady, the grandma.
Oh, the old lady. You know, I was like, she should have been the grandma in Four Brothers. She was great.
She's in Good Girls and she's amazing. I love her. I always forget how soft Justin Timberlake's voice is. He's like, hey, you grandma, I just got out of prison.
With Justin Timberlake, I think we got the same situation as with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator. He kills it in Terminator because he doesn't have to say that much. In this movie, Justin Timberlake doesn't say shit for like the first hour.
But there's a strong, silent type.
He slowly comes into it.
I will say that in itself is a hard task. Because he really worked on his facial expressions, him looking like, you know, granted, he's, you know, dingy. He's not Justin Timberlake. He has a beard.
Yeah.
This whole persona of the strong, silent type really drove it home for me. As if when Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, it was, oh, you're a Terminator. All I have to do is look fucking tough. And it's kind of within his wheelhouse. But this is a little bit of a harder character because it's nuanced.
And he just got out of jail.
Timberlake
being like a manly man.
I don't know how many people that you know who've just gotten out of jail, but a lot of our family members have gotten out of jail. And when they come out of jail, they're a little shell-shocked, bro. They come into a situation.
Overwhelming, completely overwhelming.
And they're like, I don't have to fucking, I have more than this small, like, you know what I mean? Like,
like with his toothbrush, he's like going to bring his toothbrush with him. Then he's like, oh yeah, I can like leave it.
Yeah, here
on the counter. Like, but I mean, I always think about my mom's friend Randy, who's in prison for murdering his wife, would say like he's still in prison. Like the thought of getting out and like going to the grocery store and like the cereal aisle, like is so, imagining that is so overwhelming. Like having choices and so many choices after like,
and he was in jail for 15 years, this guy.
12, I think.
For sure. This is Justin Timberlake's best performance ever. I've never liked him in anything.
Have you seen Model Behavior?
No, I haven't. But I saw him in Facebook movie. I think I saw him in one of those rom-coms, and he was not good at
one of those Friends with Benefits.
Something like that.
Yeah, totally. Was it Mila Kunis or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was good in this. He was good. I mean,
yeah, I agree. He did a
Not have to do as much heavy lifting, though, I think.
I disagree.
The mom. of the kid, she's
barely in it.
That fucking scene where she's crying and like telling him she's gonna leave him, she's gonna stay with Palmer, like she killed it in that scene.
And also
Sam killed it. That was his first full-length movie. He was 7 years old.
He was great.
And the mom being on also Ted Lasso, how about that?
I only knew that from IMDb.
Oh, that's where I knew her from. I didn't know where I knew her from, but okay, now you just connected the dots.
Yeah.
But you know what? As much as I really like this movie, you know what I compared it to? Which maybe
Peanut Butter Falcon.
I compared it to Peanut Butter Falcon, and Peanut Butter Falcon smashes on this movie though. Peanut Butter Falcon was
Peanut Butter Falcon special.
Amazing.
It's special.
Literally. I love both of those movies. So I told my mom to watch this because I had her watch Peanut Butter Falcon and she loved Peanut Butter Falcon, but it definitely gave me those vibes.
Definitely.
Of taking in a kid and you're reluctant and you don't want to, and then that relationship growing. Like, I was, even in the very beginning, I was like, he better like soften up quick, because I was getting really upset when he took him to the police station. Yeah. I was so sad. He's like, where are we going? Why'd I have to pack a suitcase? Yeah. And then you see him tromping across the street in those little cowboy boots.
Oh,
totes adorbs.
Are you kidding me? With that little barrette. I mean, I loved him.
He fucking
And then when
did
Justin Timberlake, like, first he's like, you don't play with dolls. You're a boy. And he's like, I know, Palmer. And then at the end, he's buying him a fairy princess costume. Oh, it's so
you know what? You know, it kind of reminded me of like the cuteness factor of Little Miss Sunshine.
Okay.
That's what Christina said.
Yeah.
She said Little Miss Sunshine.
I can see that.
Because like the cuteness level is just...
off the charts.
It's off the fucking charts, dude. And honestly, when I saw Little Miss Sunshine and seeing that little girl do those dances, I was like... it just melts your heart. And, you know, you have to be a fucking monster to not feel the warmth, your heart warming. You know what I mean? It is such a good, feel good fucking movie. And honestly, Justin Timberlake, like you said, his performance kept me engaged. It seemed believable how he was super cold, slowly started warming up, and then he completely embraced this. You know, him hooking up with the teacher, the whole nine, I was all here for it. I was like, this is great. Yeah.
And I love when an adult checks a shitty little kid like fucking Toby.
Yeah.
And I was so glad he was working at the school, because I'm like, you know, he's going to see him get bullied.
If
you ever touch him again, I'll break your fucking arm.
I didn't like that part because I was like, fuck, you're going to get fucking fired.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that made me nervous, and I got super nervous when he went to beat up Toby's dad.
Oh,
so I'm like, you can't go back to prison. But that was so fucking horrible that like an adult is doing that to a child. And like, and then he goes in the bar and he's like, what? He's just a little faggot, whatever. And I was like,
dang. And then he beat his ass.
Daryl, fuck Daryl up.
Yeah, but so then that cop, the deputy, right? He did the crime with him back in the day, right? He was there.
I think so, yeah.
Because he was saying, you're going to keep your mouth shut or else you're going down with me because I'm telling him about what you did.
Well, he was like, if you know, like, your dad's not going to save you this time or some shit. Because, like...
I think he kept his mouth shut.
Because that shit was confusing, yeah. Because they talked about it at the football game, too. Like, he's like, you did your time. You know, who you really should be mad at is that guy and his fucking dad or whatever. Yeah.
And they left it ambiguous about... They weren't super clear about why he was in jail. You kind of got all these bits and pieces and you had to put it together and actually pay attention to the story. And it's like, sometimes you're like... You're so caught up in just other storylines that it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, and like that stupid bitch from church who was like, oh, you can't have the kid dressing like that. He should be taken away. And they see him at the store and she says something. And Palmer like keeps it together. I would have lost my shit. But Sam's like, he's been doing real good. So mind your own ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, get her.
And then it was great when he goes outside. He's like, I've been doing good, right? He's like,
That
was good.
I think the only thing why I compare this to Peanut Butter Falcon, and what I think the difference was in that movie, I really didn't know like what was going to happen. Like, I really felt like the tension of like, oh, I have no idea.
He's going to go to jail. It's not going to end well.
But this one, I kind of like, he's going to end up with the kid. I know it. And, you know, I just didn't know exactly how it was going to play out, but it did. So I didn't have the same tension as that one. So I think that's why I'm
unfairly
comparing it to that one.
Because I was like hopeful that they would end up together, you know, but at the same time when he was going to fuck Daryl up, I'm like, oh no, he's gonna go back to prison.
Those were scary moments, he's gonna end up with
the teacher and
or the time where he kidnapped Sam, and then I was just like, oh my god, bro, you just screwed the fucking pooch, dude. Holy shit, you're going down, and then they arrest them and you're just like, man, and then you're like, we're close to wrapping this shit up. Is this how it's going to end? Like, it just, it's unfair and life's unfair. So they did a good job of of teasing the fact that this wasn't going to go the way you wanted it to go. And they did a good job, in my opinion, of that.
I thought Miss Vivian, spoiler alert, passing away was going to be a trick. Mm. Like, I thought she was about to like wake up when he was like looking at her and his eyes are filling with tears. And I'm like, she's going to move, right?
I think I've just seen too many movies where, because when I see an old person, I'm just expecting them to die. Well,
Little Miss Sunshine, the grandfather dies too.
He does die, yeah.
So that was kind of that vibe there. One thing I thought was pretty disappointing, where it's just when you just throw these little tiny life obstacles that come up, they really just hit you right in the heart, dude. Like, you know, after grandma dies.
Oh, that bitch.
And then the fucking house is going to get donated to charity in the church. And you're just like, come on. Are you kidding me? Then where the fuck are they going to go? Like, these little tiny obstacles.
Which they never really answered, because at the end of the movie, you see them packing up their car and moving
out. I kind of thought they moved in with the teacher.
Yeah, the teacher.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah,
okay.
The teacher took on, they got married.
It's heartbreaking, too, like when the mom comes back and you can see, like, Sam's hesitation, like, that's your mom and you love her, but like she keeps abandoning you. Right. And I know addiction is a disease and blah, blah, blah. But like, I just can't understand like a parent like choosing that over their child. Like Dolores isn't even a human. And if I had to do like anything, or she was going to get taken away from me and I was like,
oh,
you have to stop doing this.
Who's Dolores in this movie?
but you're not a junkie like that, so I don't think you could have.
She's a junkie for sushi.
If they were like, you could never have sashimi again, or you could never order from Amazon Prime, or like, oh my God, if I had to give up nail polish, they're like,
there you go.
I would do that because I could not ever give up Dolores. And these are your children who you gave birth to, and you're choosing fucking Dennis from 30 Rock who hits you.
So you got to admit, I think you have to really put into factor is obviously A, addiction's alive and real. B, these drugs are lit as fuck. Like, you know what I mean? If they cause you to like want
heroin
this,
or meth?
Meth.
She looked like a meth. Yeah, definitely. But that fucking kid, I love that kid so much. I would just want to hang out with that kid all the time.
I know. The charisma and personality shine through. Yeah. The whole, like, you know, this is a great story because it really combines an old way of thinking with how like the newer generation is learning to I don't know, you know, with the LGBTQ, like people understanding about non-binary and understanding about their sexuality earlier, and understanding that it's okay to be yourself and to be, you know, if you're different, you don't have to hide it. This was like a two of those generations clashing.
And it wasn't gimmicky either.
It didn't seem because the characters seemed genuine,
and it wasn't like trans or non-binary. Not that would be anything wrong with that. But it was just like, I'm a boy and I just like dressing in girl clothes and doing girl stuff. Like,
that's what I was wondering at first. I was like, oh, is this going to be about this kid being trans? But then I guess it wasn't, right? He was pretty sure that he was a boy, right? He kept on saying
and then the end obviously is what we wanted, but it wasn't that he got Sam, he got his keys. And that was like another little, like, you know.
The only thing I do wonder is like, if Palmer really is this person from that, you know, down south, where were they, in Georgia, you know, would he have really been so not bothered by the way that Sam acted, you know, like if it was real life, you know what I mean?
Well, I think
he was at first.
I was about to say,
was he?
Yeah,
he was, dude. Like
a little bit, but not like.
What are you supposed to do? You're someone. Someone takes you into a house, right? And you're living there, like, and someone else is living there. It's just you put up with it. And I felt like it was very much that energy. Mm. And I think you fall in love with Sam, and everybody fell for it. He got everyone hooked. It sounds like. From us three anyway.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like, you know, you're part of it is like the memory and respect for Miss Vivian, you know, she loved this kid and took care of him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. And she's like a Christian and all that. So, mm-hmm. and you could see how judgy some of the other Christians were.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, out of respect for her, trying to be kind of more like her, almost.
The other thing I was thinking watching this movie was like, God, it fucking must suck to live in a little fucking town like that, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Never want to do that.
I also think, you know, he's coming out of prison and people are judging him, and it's like, you know, he needs to be less judgmental because he wants people to be less judgmental of him. Right. He had attempted murder.
Right.
That's true. You know? Maybe that's why he's more open-minded.
So, I mean, honestly,
I don't know where he got that drinking money, but...
why?
Yeah, it's true. I do say, so it sounds like everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Loved it. I fucking thought it was great.
Really liked it.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Great call on that. I had never heard of it, so I'm really glad this came across my screen.
Yeah, definitely. It's on our radar, and I hope it wins. I hope they win some awards. They deserve acclaim for this. This is a great movie. Like I said, two generations colliding, you know, this new generation and also the generation gap of like, he's a weird boy. And I love that. And he was himself like totally
unapologetic,
whatever, you know, he was definitely not like, he didn't have the world. He wasn't tainted by the world yet. And he was, I don't know, he had a support system and some weird way that he was able to express himself this way. And it was such a special thing to watch and really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Right.
So.
What's next? What's next?
Yeah. Fuck.
You look like you have something.
I didn't. That's why I was like looking at like through my notes here. Like, fuck.
I started watching a new show that I think is excellent.
Okay.
Oh.
And it is called Yellow Jackets.
Oh, nice. I'd be down for that. I've heard. Now I saw the tweets going on about Yellow Jacket. What is it about? Give us a little bit of a rundown, real quick.
It's not going to do it justice because it didn't sound that appealing to me, but. Basically, I think in the 80s or 90s, I want to say 90s, like championship high school girls soccer team, they're going to nationals and their plane crashes. And they survive for 19 months out before they're rescued. And it flashes back and forth between then and present day. And you see the adults who survived.
I'm down.
And you get weird flashes in the very beginning of like, clearly there was some cannibalism and some really fucking weird shit went down. And it's got Christina Ricci and my non-favorite Juliette Lewis.
Why not?
And she just always bugs me. But there's only been 3 episodes so far, and I love it. It's excellent.
I'm down. Let's watch it.
Yep, I'm down too. Sounds Cheech, good. What you got?
You go first. I don't even know if I have anything.
I do. Have we talked about this? I have one of my friends I went to school with, and we may have already covered this, but for the sake of whatever, I'm going to put in. Do we see Hentified? Do we see that?
Familiar.
So and we talked
my
about fr- it.
My friend, I went to went to college with the Art Institute with. And he's still my friend to this day. We keep in contact. I saw him maybe 2 months ago. He co-created this. This whole series. Him and America Ferreira and this other woman who's his writing partner. I think it's Linda Yvette Chavez. All Mexican Latinos, you know, they wrote this series. And they're 2 seasons in. But I thought it would be a nice change. These are 30-minute episodes.
What's it called?
Hentified. With the G.
How do you spell it?
It's J E.
Oh, got it.
G E.
Sorry. Like gentrified.
Netflix.
It's on Netflix. So yeah, my friend wrote this, and Lou, just to kind of we could possibly even get him on the podcast if we wanted to talk about it. But he's, you know, he's doing all the circuits and stuff. But I wanted to promote this. Just because, you know, it's cool. When he got the first season, I'm not saying like is nothing to sneeze at. This dude is an incredible storyteller, an incredible writer. I've worked with him on a lot of short films early on in his career. I'm glad he's able to be in this spot. It's like I said, it's cool to see, but when someone gets one series, you're just like, okay, well, can you do it again? And he got season two, and then now it's a whole new ballgame. Like, if he goes season three, season four, we know that's going to be life-changing money, like, or at least in some type. So I'm really excited because this is an actual good series based in Los Angeles, based in Boyle Heights. It's about a family who's losing their restaurant, and it's a very great, like, you know, a window into the Latin stories of...
is it a Netflix original, or is it streaming on Netflix?
Netflix original.
I'm trying to remember if I watched it, because I know we talked about it, and then I...
America Ferrera is the executive producer, and she's like Ugly Betty. I don't know if you remember her. Like, she's done all that. All
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Exactly. So she was basically the pioneer of a lot of... you know, the Latino movement in film and television.
Oh, watch it. It's on Netflix,
but
right?
Her name is America.
I know.
Yeah, I don't really have anything. So I think those two are good. But I just have one that a movie people have told me to watch for years. Never seen it. So I don't even know if it's really that good. But here it is. Sling Blade. Is it good?
I don't know.
Is that Wesley Snipes? Sling Blade.
We don't have to watch it now, but no. What, have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it.
And you didn't like it?
Billy Bob Thornton as Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, look, it is a good movie.
It is a good movie?
It is a good movie. So, it's just been a long time, but he don't like it.
Isn't that the thing that fucking, like... really made him who he was? Taters. It's a big movie for him.
Mustard and tater. Yeah. I mean, look, yeah, he broke. I think Monster's Ball was the one for me, for Billy Bob, when allegedly he really had sex with Halle Berry on set.
I've never seen that either.
Watch that. It's a crazy scene. It's very racist.
Oh.
Sounds
like it.
Halle Berry won the Academy Award for that.
Yeah, I've heard that. I knew that.
I've also had a recommendation for Dr. Death.
Oh, nice. Is that the sequel to The Shining?
I don't believe
so. No,
that's
Dr. Sleep.
Oh.
Dr. Death is... it's kind of like a Dirty John thing where it started as a like true crime podcast, but it's Alec Baldwin, I think Joshua Jackson, forget who else. But
I saw Joshua Jackson in something recently, what's it called again? Dr. Sleep?
Dr. Death.
Oh,
Dr. Sleep is the Stephen King thing. I think we should
it's on your Peacock.
Your Yellow Jackets and Hentified, and then I'll think of something for next week, because I didn't really think of it. I just thought of that on the spot. So let's watch those two.
Sounds good.
Are
we doing one episode or two? They're short.
Well, both of them are half hours, right?
I think Yellow Jackets is an hour.
Okay. Yeah.
Just one Yellow Jacket, two Hentifines.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm down.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, I think that's good.
So Showtime and Netflix.
Yeah.
Showtime.
What is what was that one that I was gonna look up something and I forgot
Dr.
what it
Death?
Was. Yeah, Dr. Death. There you go. Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep, I know I did.
yeah.
Is this a it's a show though. It's not a it's scripted.
It's a show.
Right? Scripted, right?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Show.
Kristen Slater. Okay.
Yes, that was the other person in it.
Yeah. Okay. This is interesting, but we'll put a pin in that.
Yeah. We'll keep it on the list.
Sounds good. Well, I think we got our marching orders.
We do.
Let's get it.
Tight. See you guys next week. 103. Bye.
Later.